God's house. If you got a Bible, turn with us over to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. Mark, chapter number 10. And we are going to begin reading in verse number 1. Mark, chapter 10, and verse number 1. It says, "And he arose and from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good day you've given us. Lord, I think about that song that we just sang that, Lord, as long as you lend us breath, we'll praise you. And Lord, you've lent us breath today. You've given us another day, and God, I pray we'd praise you in it. God, I pray that you would just shed light on the Scriptures of God today. Lord, I know that today eternity's being shaped, even here in our services, and God, I count that a great thing. And Lord, I pray for Children's Church next door, and just that the preaching of your word would be exalted. God, I pray you'd work in hearts today, and I pray the power of God would be evident and move amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we see Jesus here coming to a place, and the first thing I want to look at this morning is verse 1, resorting back to Jesus. It says that when he went there, it says the people resorted unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And that word want, as he was want, means as he was wanted, as he was desired, as he was being used, that he would teach the people again. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of believers today in churches that need to get back to letting Jesus teach them again, to get back to get back under the feet of Jesus and sit and learn His Word and His ways. You know, I was thinking about this week and why people wouldn't want Jesus to teach them, why people wouldn't want to be learning of Him. And today in churches, unfortunately, people have just become too busy today. People don't have time to sit with the Word of God open and read and see what God has to say. They don't have time to stop and pray. And I want you to know something today. If you are too busy to read your Bible and to pray, then you are too busy. And you need to adjust your lifestyle accordingly to make time for that, to make time to sit at Jesus' feet. Because you know what God's going to do? God is not going to force Himself on any one of you. He is not going to just force Himself and His lessons and His doctrines and His ways on you. Just as Jesus did here. As He comes into town, it says, as He was wont. As He was wanted, He taught. Oh, someone here wants to hear from me. Someone here wants to know what I have to say. Then I'll give them what I have to say. But if you don't want to know, then you can stay in your ignorance. That's how God sees it. If you don't want to use me, if you don't want to hear from me, then that's fine. You can stay as you are. There's a lot of people as well today in churches don't want to know what God thinks about things because they're too bitter today. People have hurt them. They don't want to hear what God has to say about forgiveness. They're doing things one way. They don't want to hear that God has another way. They have their own ways of doing things. They're too bullheaded, if you will. They're too prideful on doing things their way. And that's what we're going to be looking at throughout the rest of these scriptures, that people have developed their own ways of doing things because of their pride and the things that they think is right. And folks, I want to tell you something today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you haven't been sitting at His feet and learning what He has to say about every area of life, that you need to get back to Him today. You need to come to Him and say, God, I need You. I want You. Please teach me what I need to be doing. We need to confess that we don't know. We need to confess that we'll mess it up. That, man, if we go our own way, there is a way which seems right unto man, and the end thereof is the ways of death. And we need to confess that that is our ways today. And get back to looking to see what Jesus said. Now, He goes on to talk about a topic that's very relevant to us today, and it's a topic about marriage. And you know, one thing that I'm glad of is that I preach expositorily. I preach through books of the Bible. I started in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, and now we're in chapter 10. If I did not do this, I probably would never preach on this text. Amen? I probably would never turn here. I would never come here. Because I know that today I'm looking out at a crowd of people that probably half of you have been divorced. And I would never touch divorce in my sermons. I'd leave it alone. But because we're rightly dividing the Word of God, and we're preaching it line upon line and precept upon precept, we've come to this text today. And we've got to see what God has to say on the matter. Now, regarding marriage, God has a way. He has a way that it should be done in every aspect. And guess what? Not just marriage, but in all other things, God has a way. Amen. We're going to look at salvation today, and guess what? God has a way. And we want to look at those things, but God has a specific way, and His ways are not always our ways. Isn't that what the Scripture says? God's ways are not our ways. They're far above us and higher than what we would think. But when it comes to marriage, here's what Jesus said. In verse 6, He said, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." You know, in marriage, this is God's plan, that it be one man and one woman for one lifetime. That's God's intended plan. That one man would marry one woman, and that this marriage would last their entire lifetime. As we perform marriage ceremonies, we say at the end, "Until death do you part," because that's God's intended way. And inside the marriage, guess what? God has a way. God has given us roles as husband and wives. God made these ways up. I didn't make them up. Don't shoot the messenger today. Amen? I didn't write one word of Mark chapter 10. It was all God. But you know how God's intended this to be? He's intended it for men to be the leaders of the household. He's intended that men be the head of the house and lead the family in the way that it should go. He's intended that men, that husbands, are supposed to love their wives like Christ loved the church. You know what that means for me today, men? That means that I've got to love my wife unconditionally. Because that's how Jesus loves the church. He loves the church unconditionally. He doesn't love the church because we're good to Him. He doesn't love the church because we serve Him. He loves us just because we're His bride. And you need to love your wife today, not because she can cook good, not because she cleans, not because she does what you've asked her to do. You've got to love your wife simply because this, you've chose to enter into a union with her. And this is how God has intended it to be. Now, some of you ladies, and when I say that men are supposed to be the head of the house, you say, Brother Derek, you don't know my husband. He can't lead a house. I'm sorry for that. I'm not telling you anything about that. I'm just telling you God's intended way. He has intended that your husband be the leader and that you be submissive unto him, that you follow him. That you, guess what ladies are supposed to do in the marriage? The Bible says this, that wives are also supposed to love their husbands. That you ought to treat your husband. You know, one thing that I pray is that I could love, that God would love Laura through me. I think that's a good thing to pray, is it not? Man, that God would love Laura through me. And you need to pray that same thing, wives, for your husband, that God would love them through you, that you could love them. One thing that God does, and it's the same way in our marriages, if I make it my job to make Laura happy, and that's what I want to do, make Laura happy, if that's my job, you know what it'll make her want to do? It'll make her want to make me happy. But when I don't want to do that, and I'm worried about me, guess what she starts doing? Worrying about her. And that's how those things get all messed up and out of place. And we need to try to strive that we love our spouses to make them love us. That we just give them the love that we need. And then wives, the other thing we're supposed to do is be a help. Isn't that what God said? That you're a helpmeet for your husband, that we're supposed to help one another, undergird one another, support one another, be submissive to one another. Don't be a problem. Don't be a drama starter. Don't be a pot stirrer. Don't be all these things that we see people be today in our time. God has a way. You know, I think about being one man and one woman. I don't think I have to say this today. I think everybody agrees with me. But it's not one man and one man. We know that today. Amen? All this homosexual marriage that we see promoted on our TVs and promoted in our government, and they're trying to bring all these things to be, they can bring them to pass, but it's not God's way. They can put anything in the law they want to put in the law. Doesn't mean it's right, and doesn't mean it's God's way. He said, Jesus said here that He's made a male and female, and that's how it's been since the beginning, and that hadn't changed, and it won't ever change. And I can tell you this too, churches can accept whatever they want to accept, and it doesn't change the fact of what God's way is. And God has a way in salvation as well. There's one way. There's not two ways. There's not multiple ways. There's not just the top of the mountain, and we can get up the mountain any way we can see fit. There's one way to heaven today. And that way is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Today, me and you are sinners. I don't know if you know that, but we are sinful. In our flesh, we are wicked. If we could run down the Ten Commandments to see where every one of us has failed and missed the mark, you say, I've never killed anybody. I got you. The Bible says if you've been mad at somebody without a cause, then you're a murderer. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, well, I ain't never stole anybody. Have you always tithed onto everything you got? You've given tithes to everything you've ever done? Well, and Malachi says, you've robbed me. You've robbed God. You've robbed God. And so we can see that we're sinners. And Jesus came to die for sinners like me and you. And the way that we get to heaven is by surrendering our lives by faith to His Lordship. That's how we go to heaven. It's not that you, quote unquote, believe in Him. It's not that you're, quote unquote, a Christian. It's that you have waved the white flag of surrender and repented of your sins and given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It's not by works. It's not by any other way. It's simply by Jesus Christ. And it won't be any other way. Now, here's the problem today. Man has made another way. And that's what we find in our text today. I think about divorce today. It's never been God's intended way. Ever. From the beginning. That's what He said. But man has made another way. Here's why. And here's how. Number one, they've tried to compromise God's Word. Look in verse 2. It said, and the Pharisees came to Him and asked Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? The first thing they tried to do is to come and get Jesus to say something that they would think to be contradicting what they believe. And what people will try to do today is they'll try to take the Bible and compromise it and twist it so that they can have what they want, so that they can make it fit what they want to do. I've got news for you here today. When it comes to marriage, there's no grounds for divorce. There's just no grounds for it. Now, I want to say this. I understand that you might be here and say, hey, my spouse left me. What could I do? I understand there wasn't nothing you could do. I'm not saying there's anything you could have done. I'm just telling you God's way, God's intended way. And you say, well, what's the big deal today? What the big deal is that we should preach from the pulpit God's intended way. I got 4 children. You know what I want them to believe when they grow up? That when they get married, that's it. That's it. I performed the marriage ceremony for my sister. I say it that way because I had one of my friends from the Air Force had called me the week after and he said, what did you do this weekend? I said, I married my sister. He said, my goodness, I knew y'all down south were like that, but I didn't know. I said, no, I did the ceremony. I didn't marry her. And I did the ceremony for them, and I stood there with my brother-in-law, and I showed him this ring. You know what I told him? I said, guess what, TJ? I said, this means no to every other woman for the rest of your life. It means no. It means you're taken. It means you're married, and that's it. And I want my children, I want your children to know that when they get married, they're making a commitment for their life. Because we've compromised God's way, people don't feel that way no more. We'll get married. If it don't work out, we'll get divorced. We'll just do whatever we want to do. And that is just not God's plan or His way to do things today. But here's what people will do. They'll take the scriptures. I'm going to give you the couple of scriptures that people will use to condone divorce today. I'm not oblivious to it. People say two things. They say, well, if my spouse commits adultery, God says it's okay. Number two, they'll say, well, the Bible says if the unbelieving depart, they say it's okay. Number one, most divorces, and I say most, had nothing to do with either one of those things. So, I mean, we can bring those up, that's fine, but most divorces don't even have anything to do with that in the end. You know, I've sat, somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you do marriage counseling? I say, yes, very unsuccessfully, usually. But I sit with people that are struggling, their marriages are in shambles, they come to me, and you know what's usually the problem? No one had an affair. No one's an unbeliever who hates God and wants to leave because of the cause of Christ. It's usually stuff that can be fixed. It's stuff, well, I don't love him no more. Well, why? I just don't. Well, what are you going to do with that? But that's not the Bible. But let me talk about those two things. First off, we go over there and read it when Jesus talks about it. He uses the word adultery, but then when he's talking about divorce, he uses the word fornication. They're two different. He uses both words in the context of the Scripture. And he uses fornication for the reason for divorce. And I want to remind you of something that happened in the Bible. Mary and Joseph, the mother of Jesus, mother and father of Jesus. You remember when he found out that she was pregnant? Remember, she was a virgin. That upset him. So they hadn't gotten married yet, had they? But he said, I'm going to put her away. I'm going to divorce her. But they wasn't married yet. What's going on? It was the culture of the times. What they would do is be engaged, like we get engaged today. Well, they were engaged to be married. Old Joseph is under the assumption she's a virgin. Now she's pregnant. Says she's pregnant with God. Yeah, right. That's what he's thinking. That's what me and you would have thought. He said, I'm going to put her away. She's broken this engagement. It wasn't that they were married, and that's what Jesus was talking about. If you find out before it, during the engagement, hey, something's wrong, you can do away with it. The second thing is, if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. And here's my answer to that. There's one scripture. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. Well, what else are you going to do? You got to let them depart. You can't keep them there. You can't force them to be there. But here's what we have. This is how you need to study your Bible. If I've got a list of scriptures, I mean a long list, and then I got one over here that I don't know about, we study that one in light of all of these. And what all these do is shed light on that one. You know, we're talking about salvation. You know why people compromise salvation? They'll go to some scriptures that sound like you got to work to get it. Yes. What does the Bible say? It says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Man, you take that by itself and you say, man, we got to add works to our faith. No, what we do is we study that one scripture in light of the rest of the Bible. And here's what the rest of the Bible says. It says this, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's what the Bible says. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. From the beginning, it was not so. And I understand that there are difficult situations. Maybe you're in it. And listen, if my daughters get married to somebody who abuses them, I'm not going to tell them to just sit over there and get abused. I understand those things. There's difficult things that happen. But I'm just telling you what God's Word says today and what His intended plan was to happen was for us to stay married to one person for one lifetime. You know, here's what Jesus said. Look at verse 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, He wrote you this precept. This is why most divorces happen. Because of the hardness of the heart. Not because your spouse cheated on you. By the way, if your spouse cheats on you, now we know that's wrong and nobody's for that. But if I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church, have you ever cheated on Jesus? Have you ever been unfaithful to Him? Let me ask you, did He divorce you? Did He leave you? I do marriage ceremonies. You know what I never have said in a marriage ceremony? Now, do you take this person to be your wife until they cheat on you and then you can kick them to the curb? I've never said that because it's not in any vows we ever read. It's in good times and bad. If they cheat on you, it's going to be bad times. I get it. And look, I ain't never been there. I'm not telling you what I do in my flesh, but I can tell you what the Bible says we ought to do. We ought to forgive people. We ought to love them. We ought to try to reconcile those things together. But it's for the hardness of people's hearts. We let our hearts grow hard in our marriages. We let our hearts grow hard toward our spouses. And because of that, people end up getting divorced. I understand that, like I said before, there are other instances where stuff happens. But the large majority of it is, I just can't live with him. I can't live with her. You know, I was talking to somebody recently about their divorce, and I'm expecting some big thing to be told to me. They won't clean. They put on all this weight. This is why people get divorced today, because people put on weight, because people won't clean, they won't cook, they argue. Folks, it's just not God's intended way. You know why people won't get saved God's way? Because of the hardness of their heart. When I stand up here today and tell you that you're a sinner and your heart's hard to that, you won't ever get saved. When I tell you that even your righteousness is as filthy rags and you don't believe me, you'll never get saved. When I say you're not good enough and you can't earn it in yourself and your heart's hard to that, you'll never ever get saved. You've got to say, God has a way, and I've got to humble my heart to that. And I got to surrender to that way. You know another thing that they do? People try to find other people to validate their opinion. They found Moses. You know, Moses was a great man. One of the greatest men that ever lived, in my opinion. But Moses wasn't God. And Moses, if you remember, he was running Israel as a nation. And he was making decisions. And he did what a lot of other people did. They wanted to get divorced, blah, blah, blah. He let it happen. He said, hey, write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And what everybody did from that moment on is they said, Moses said we could. And they just went back to Moses. And I want to tell you something, Dave. If you want to look for people to agree with you, you'll find them. You will find them. You'll find churches to agree with you. Adrian Rogers had a lady come into his office, said, I'm leaving my husband. He said, you are? Why? She told him. She said, what you think about that? He said, I agree with you. I think you ought to divorce him. She said, you do? He said, yeah, but God don't agree with neither one of us. And so we got to do what God says. And you might find all your friends, all your family. You could find tons of churches to let you do it. But it ain't about finding people to agree with you. It's about finding out what God says. You know, if you think you get to heaven by any old way, you can find a church that'll preach that. You know, I was talking to somebody one time. They was out singing, this girl out singing in bar rooms and was singing in church. The church told her she couldn't sing no more. She's going to sing in bar rooms. And I was talking to her and she said, oh, I can sing in church. I just can't sing in that church. I can sing in this one down the road. I said, you can probably preach in that one down the road, but that's not the point. You can find anybody to agree with you. If you disagree with me today, you can go out and find it. Half of y'all might disagree with me. Y'all all might agree together. None of that matters. What does God say? What does God have to say about it? You might think that you get to heaven by works and by church membership and by baptism and all this other stuff. That doesn't matter. It matters what God says. You know those Muslims over there that are beheading people and blowing themselves up? They're not doing that just for fun. They're doing it because they believe it. They believe it enough to strap a bomb to their body and set it off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much they believe it. It matters what God has to say about the issue. And so today, our question is this. What does God have to say? I want to say this too. You might be here today and divorced and say, what do I do? Where am I at? You know, the Bible says down here, whosoever put away his wife, in verse 11, and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. What, now, is that true or not? It's true. But what are you supposed to do? Well, here's what you do. If you've been divorced today, you ask God to forgive you of that, and you live serving God today in His forgiveness. That's what you do. We can't go back. You can't redo. You can't undo. God forgives sin all alike. And I don't know what sin you're in or what sin you've done, but if you've been divorced here today, I want to tell you what, it wasn't God's way. But I've done a lot of things that wasn't God's way. What you need to do, if you're, and you might be divorced and remarried, maybe both spouses have been divorced and remarried, you know what you do? You ask God to forgive you. You say, hey, I'm in this new covenant relationship, and you begin to love them like Christ loved the church. And you do what you're supposed to do. You know, I view this in this way. You say, how can we be in that and all this other stuff? You know, you look back to the Old Testament. Some of y'all have asked this question before, I know. You know, in the Old Testament, they had multiple wives. Solomon had 300 and 700 concubines. You know, when I was in Israel and in Jordan, our tour guide was Muslim. And we met a lot of people that had multiple wives. And we asked him if he had multiple wives. He said, that's like putting two spiders in a jar. He said he wasn't going to have two wives. But you look at them, and have you ever wondered, how did God bless them doing that? They got multiple wives. That's not right. God blesses us when we don't do everything just according to His way. I think just like polygamy wasn't God's ways for marriage, neither is divorce. But God blesses us despite ourselves. Amen? And so what you need to do is just serve God right on. In His forgiveness. In repentance for what we do. If you've never been saved here today, you need to get saved God's way. His only way. Repent of your sins. Let God know that you're a sinner, that you believe His way is the right way, and you surrender to that today, and you live in that forgiveness. And today, I do want to say I understand that this is a tough issue. But sometimes in God's Word, there are tough things. Sometimes I come across things that I don't like. You might not like what we've read today. But I do trust that it is God's Word, that it is His way, it is His plan. And I think the church ought to stand on that. I think we ought to stand on the importance of marriage. Stand on the importance of it being for one lifetime. And maybe if we'll do that, maybe we'll see less divorces. Maybe we'll see less breakups. And we'll see more people stay together. Everybody in here that's been divorced knows you don't want that for your kids. You want to be with one person for one lifetime. And so let's strive for that. Let's pray for that. Erica, why don't you come to the piano today? Brian comes. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And pray that God meet with us and bless us. You know, at this time, it's time for you to be able to do business with Him and pray to Him and worship Him. And so why don't you stand with us?